Welcome back to the WCHL 2014 Year in Review. Now, once again, here's Aaron Keck.
Thanks, Ron, and thank you for joining us this hour as we continue our countdown of the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of 2014 here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, in Orange County. We're through number 8, so let's move ahead now with number 7. From Ephesus Church to Obie Creek and downtown to Glen Lennox, 2014 was a banner year for new development in Chapel Hill. That's our number 7 news story of the year. The ongoing debate about all the big projects in town as they move closer to becoming reality. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend again with the story.
In May, following months of heated debate, the Chapel Hill Town Council adopted a new type of zoning known as form-based code and applied it to a large swath of land surrounding the Ephesus Church Road, Fordham Boulevard intersection.
The rezoning creates the opportunity for new tax revenues that allow us to solve problems that the community has not been able to afford to resolve in the past.
The plan calls for the town to reconfigure the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard and create new mixed-use zones that allow 3 to 7 stories of commercial and residential development. The first project in that area, Village Plaza Apartments, could begin construction early next year. In June, the town council approved a development agreement to expand and renovate the Glen Lennox neighborhood. That same night, the council voted to enter into formal negotiation for a development agreement on the contentious Obie Creek plan. East-West Partners wants to build 1.5 million square feet of housing and retail across from Southern Village.
Make a decision tonight and quit wasting your time, these folks' time, and our time.
2014 also saw the approval of the graduate apartments behind the Franklin Hotel, the controlled burn of 3 houses to make way for the Southern Village Hotel, the opening of Lux undergraduate housing, and the closing of shops at University Square to prepare for its transformation into an 11-story mix of housing and retail. Underpinning every discussion of economic growth this past year was concern that Chapel Hill is rapidly running out of affordable housing. One idea that gained traction was to use town land in the Ephesus Fordham District to develop low-income housing with Raleigh-based nonprofit DHIC. The plan hit a road bump when DHIC announced their application for tax credits for the plan was not properly completed. In August, the mayors of Chapel Hill and Carrboro held a joint press conference decrying the decision from some local landlords to stop accepting Section 8 vouchers.
More than 600 families are beneficiaries of this program today, and it's an instrumental program in providing for affordable housing opportunities for people of low income.
Advocates also worry that renovations to multiple apartment complexes across our area will result in higher rents that drive working families out of town. Concerns about affordability, traffic, sustainability, and neighborhood preservation dominated the public discourse on development in Chapel Hill. With so many large projects in the works, it's likely that debate will rage on in 2015.
There's just a lot of stuff here to work through. We all have to be patient with each other while we do that. Can't go over it, can't go under it, we just got to go through it.
Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
New development is our number 7 news story of the year, so it's only fitting that our number 7 newsmaker is the developer behind so many of those projects, the president of East-West Partners Management Company, Roger Perry.
The best thing that can happen to me and to East-West Partners is for the town of Chapel Hill to do well and to succeed, and I'm fearful that we are losing some of that.
Roger Perry and East-West Partners have developed more residential real estate than any company in North Carolina. Locally, that includes Meadowmont, Downing Creek, and East 54.
One of the strategies of our company has been to take advantage of this very difficult entitlement process and be the only person who really wants to go through the hassle of getting the approval.
And now that the town is revamping its development process, Perry and his company are on the vanguard. East-West Partners is spearheading the first project in Ephesus Fordham, the Village Plaza Apartments, and at the same time, Perry is also the man behind Obie Creek, a project that could include a big box retailer.
They'll come. They want to be here very much. They'll definitely come.
But Perry's been a polarizing figure, known for his bombastic style and his tendency to speak off the cuff to council members and citizens alike. He has this to say about his critics.
It's a whole lot easier to come out and say something's wrong than it is to say something's right. And so many times in Chapel Hill, we've had folks who get all their vision from their rearview mirror.
Roger Perry has been a major figure in Orange County for many years. Our number 6 newsmaker of the year, by contrast, made the list by replacing a man who's been a major figure in Orange County for many years, our new sheriff, Charles Blackwood.
I've got a community that's supportive of me. I've got some really well-trained people that I can call on to offer great advice to me.
After a long career in the Orange County Sheriff's Office, Charles Blackwood was elected as the county's top lawman this year after beating five challengers in two primaries and the general election. He takes the reins from Lindy Pendergrass, who stepped down after 32 years. He says he's hoping to change the culture of the department and foster a customer service approach to law enforcement.
The first start is to remind the troops that it's not our agency. It belongs to the voters and the citizens of the county. We have to be responsive to their needs, not those that we feel are their needs.
New Sheriff Charles Blackwood, our number six newsmaker of the year. Blackwood's election is the start of a new era of law enforcement in Orange County. And as it happens, it comes at a time when millions across the country are rising up to demand a new era of law enforcement nationwide. That voice found a home in Chapel Hill as well. And so our number six story of the year, the local response to the events of Ferguson, Missouri. Those are the voices of hundreds of UNC students gathered in the pit in December, not long after a Missouri grand jury decided not to indict Officer Darren Wilson in the shooting death of Michael Brown. Just one of many demonstrations that took place in our community, from UNC to the high schools to Peace and Justice Plaza and even on Franklin Street itself. And of course, it wasn't just Ferguson. After yet another grand jury in New York returned a no indictment for a police officer accused in the choking death of Eric Garner, communities across America, including our own, saw an outpouring of frustration over what demonstrators described as justice too long denied.
It was just a very somber and real moment. You saw their pain on their faces.
They think people don't care. They think we're complacent with them telling us that black bodies don't matter. And we're saying that they do. We care. Something needs to be done about it.
People need to hear these stories. Planting seeds around here, like, these need to get into people's minds. Tell them why we feel like this.
When we're being slapped in the face, don't expect us to just take it.
I'm not justifying the destruction of private property, but I definitely damn sure understand where they're coming from.
No violence in Chapel Hill, but as tensions rose across the nation, many police departments chose to confront demonstrators with riot gear, tear gas, and even military surplus vehicles, sparking an entirely different round of concerns about the apparent militarization of civilian police. Those concerns were echoed locally, especially after a New York Times report suggesting that law enforcement agencies in Orange County had acquired six military surplus vehicles, more than any other county in the state. That report turned out to be erroneous, but it sparked enough worry that Chapel Hill and Carrboro police each held public forums to show people where they stood on the matter. Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue.
I am not a gun lover. I carry one for a living. I also respect your right to carry as many as you want, as long as that's legal to do that. But I will say this, I send men and women out into the street to encounter people who may have 50 of those 300 million guns in the backseat of their car.
There are a lot of issues here, and none of them have been resolved. Local police are being proactive about the use of body cameras, and they're committed to community policing as a high priority, but there are still lingering concerns about the diversity of our local police and serious concerns that people of color in our community are far more likely to be pulled over, searched, suspected, and arrested. It's our number six story of the year this year. There's a good chance it'll be a top story next year as well. The policing issue forced us to ask ourselves how well we're living up to our own values as a community. The next news story on our list is one that did very much the same thing. Coming in at number five this year, pedestrian and bicycle safety.
You know, you hate that a tragedy has to happen for folks to really get engaged, but that has been the case here.
That's Chief Blue again, speaking just days after the tragic death of Pamela Lane, an avid bicyclist who was killed in a collision with a vehicle on MLK Boulevard in October. That tragedy was just one in a series of collisions involving bikers or pedestrians that plagued the community all year long. Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt.
We've been reminded several times in the last year by how important bicycle safety is. We've had bicycle fatalities, many of which I think could have been prevented.
And in the wake of some of those incidents, the town of Chapel Hill did renew its efforts to make the roads safer for bikes and pedestrians. Chapel Hill police conducted targeted enforcement, traffic signals were adjusted, and signs placed all over town warned people to be careful in their vehicles.
Our interest is not to write tickets. Our interest is to change behavior and raise awareness.
But no sooner had the town begun that initiative than two more incidents involving pedestrians occurred, almost back-to-back in the beginning of November. At year's end, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and UNC were all honored as bicycle-friendly communities by the League of American Bicyclists, but our experience this year shows us we still have a ways to go. It's time now for our number 5 newsmaker of the year. And for this spot, we decided to honor not one, but 2 local newsmakers, already prominent figures in our community, but recognized here for the roles they played in a profoundly historic moment in our state's history.
Well, it has been an eventful year here in Chapel Hill.
You know, actually, when I think about it, it's gone fairly quickly, but I'm finally through the cycle of the seasons, so it's been okay.
Mark Kleinschmidt and Lydia Lavelle, both attorneys, both current or former teachers, but best known in our community as the mayors of Chapel Hill and Carrboro. In Chapel Hill this summer, Kleinschmidt played host to dozens of elected officials as part of the Mayor's Innovation Project.
Mayors from all around the country coming to Chapel Hill to learn about how we can move our communities into the future.
While Lavelle navigated her first year in office after being elected last November.
Whenever you start a new job, once you get through a whole year, you kind of have a sense of how the rhythm is. And I guess I've done that.
But the truly historic moment came on Friday, October 10th, when a district court judge in Asheville officially struck down North Carolina's ban on same-sex marriage. And one of the attorneys on the Asheville case, Mark Kleinschmidt.
It was an amazing moment. Of course, I ran home and hugged my boyfriend, and it was a great evening.
The following Monday, October 13th, Orange County's Register of Deeds office began accepting applications for same-sex marriage licenses for the first time in history. And first in line on that historic morning, Alicia Stemper and Lydia Lavelle.
We've been waiting for this for years. I've never looked at the application for a marriage license because it was so beyond imaginable.
Mark Kleinschmidt and Lydia Lavelle together clock in at number 5 on our list for helping our community make history again in 2014. We are now more than halfway through our look back at the year that was. After the break, we'll sit down with Allison Driscoll and Akiva Fox to run down the most popular stories of the year on our website, chapelboro.com. But first, now, a look back at 2014 in local sports with WCHL's Matt Oakes.
The start of a new year in this part of the sports world ushers in the anticipated return of ACC basketball. And although the 24-10 Tar Heels were ultimately dismissed in the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament, there were notable highlights to savor. The legendary Marcus Page TJ Warren overtime duel at PNC Arena was one of those in attendance we'll be talking about for years.
Page has it. Carolina down one, 84-83. Page into the front court with 4 seconds. Page to the rim.
Got it.
9/10 of a second to go. Inbounds. Washington gets it to Warren. His full court shot. No good. Marcus Page, baby, does it for the Tar Heels. Carolina wins it.
Head coach Roy Williams applauded his team's resiliency and fight.
You know, I just love kids that just keep playing, just keep coming at you, just keep coming at you, just keep coming at you. It's a fun group. It really is a fun group.
But a mediocre season by Carolina's lofty standards on the hardwood paved the way for others to take center stage. The Chapel Hill Lady Tigers made a memorable run to the state title and an undefeated season.
Cat Romaine says, go ahead and take it. I've been waiting 4 years. The Chapel Hill Tigers are the North Carolina High School Athletic Association 3A women's basketball state champs.
This one was something that a coach always dreams of, being undefeated, and these girls were 32-0, turned in the perfect record, and just has had a superb season all year long.
But not all of 2014 sports highlights were positives. In a shocking announcement that stunned both UNC head coach Sylvia Hatchell and the women's basketball world, freshman star Diamond DeShields decided to transfer to Tennessee. But the show goes on, and with everybody, sans DeShields, returning for another run at a national championship, Coach Hatchell is a welcome addition back to the Carmichael Arena sidelines.
We have 5 things: great chemistry, leadership, balance, depth, and we have talent.
Another outstanding story from the past 12 months comes from the volleyball court. Led by veteran head coach Joe Segula, the ACC champ Tar Heels rewrote the program's history books, achieving UNC's first ever trip to the Elite Eight round.
It was a special group this year. They play with a lot of heart. Battle is the, without question, the right word to describe this team.
The Tar Heels certainly made the kind of national statement that future UNC squads will hope to replicate.
First and between 20 and 21 now for Duke. Shotgun snap to Boone. Carolina rushes 4. They get to him. Boone avoids the pressure, steps up. Flag is down as Boone is chased down at the 10. The ball's on the ground. Carolina picks it up. and takes it in for a touchdown.
Maybe not on a national scale, but at least in terms of the Tobacco Road rivalry, the Carolina football team achieved its crowning moment of 2014 in reclaiming the victory bell to stun the nationally ranked Blue Devils 45-20. One of the key contributors to UNC's up-and-down 6-6 regular season was junior quarterback Marquise Williams.
Look at Peyton Manning, they do a two-minute drive, and Tom Brady do a two-minute drive, and hey, I want to be something like that one day in my life, you know, and I felt like, hey, why can't I do it?
On the prep sports gridiron, Orange High and Chapel Hill High authored another instant classic in their blossoming area rivalry. The Panthers needed a monumental second-half comeback to stymie the Tigers once again by a slim 38-37 margin.
Clover, the snap, handoff, Tay Jones disappears up the middle, nice ball, goal line, stretches out, 2 points for the Panthers! Orange has the lead!
But Tiger head coach Isaac Marsh later credited that tough Orange loss to providing fuel for his team's rousing playoff run that included a thrilling upset over last year's state champion Southern Durham and ultimately ended in the East Regional Final to eventual state champion Northern Guilford. It was an incredible year of sports that has us already looking forward to the possibilities that await us as we flip the calendar to a new year. Will Sherry Norris's Tigers repeat? Will Sylvia Hatchell's Tar Heels have a Final Four run in them? Will Larry Fedora's talented bunch book a spot in the long sought-after ACC championship game? And how will Jamie Lowe back up her big splash in year two at Chapel Hill? 2015 sure has a lot in store. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.